Hello, everybody. This is Paul, and this is the Tent and Event Rental Industry Podcast. This is our sixth episode, and today I'd like to talk about what I consider the greatest asset of any business, your employees. I apologize. I haven't posted anything in quite some time. I do have a full-time job, and it recently was something that I actually took a promotion on. So I've got a new set of responsibilities. I'm traveling a little bit for work. Again, not related to the tent and event rental industry, but that has consumed quite a bit of my life. So I do apologize. I do intend on continuing this podcast moving forward, but I wanted to just kind of do a quick little shout to say I'm sorry. Has been a minute since I've started. So getting back to this is our sixth episode. We're going to talk about labor. We're going to talk about your employees, your team, and a little bit about culture, the kind of culture you want to build in and around your industry, in and around your business. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to start by offering up a couple questions. As I said, I think that the most, personally, the best asset you have in your business is your employees. So some questions you're going to want to ask yourself, you know, where are you going to find them? How are you going to develop them? And what can you do to encourage them to help foster the growth of your business? In these questions, I want you first to consider where your best skills are going to be suited for the business. The reason I ask this is I truly believe if you do a really solid, if you give a solid effort of identifying your best skills, your best assets as an individual, you will then be able to take a look at where you're deficient. And I'm talking about this in the sense of maybe you're a natural salesman. If you're a natural salesman, it's not going to be the best thing for you to do to go out there and find a person for your office so that you can go out there and do all the work yourself on the road, that is, or in the warehouse. I'm not saying you will never do that work. I just mean to say, if you know that you're a great salesman, you're great at building relationships, you might want to consider staying in the office and building a team around you that's going to deploy on the road, deploy in the warehouse or in your shed or in your garage or, you know, wherever you're started. The other side of this too is maybe you came from an industry that you were a frontline employee, meaning you were a functionary. You're doing the work yourself. And if that's something that you are comfortable in, that's a place that you think you can excel as the owner of your business, then maybe that's the time for us to take a look at, hey, you know what? I could really use someone to help me with the phones. If we're talking about you being a natural leader, well, not every business owner is a natural leader. So if you know you are a natural leader, maybe you can find a way to get some folks for the road. Maybe you can find a way to get somebody to help you with the office so you can start to split your tasks and start to delegate some of those different pieces of the business needs. And the reason I'm asking these questions is I think that you'll start to answer some questions by discovering where you are best suited. And I think that's going to be the way that you're going to find you'll be best suited to build your team. I also want to bring in this question: what kind of culture do you want to build? If you answer the questions that I just was asking you and you're reviewing that, you'll find that many of the small owner operators, just like many of the folks listening, are going to start with your family and friends. And this is where we're going to start to go to the next level because we want to consider the growth of the business and the business needs. So if you're a natural leader, maybe we can do some things where you're kind of delegating tasks and moving some things around. If you're a natural salesman, you might not be the best person to be out there swinging sledgehammers, right? So as you move forward, think about that today, think about that tomorrow, think about that next week. And as you start to grow, you have to be agile and you have to determine what you can do to make sure that your business is moving forward. Now, the next piece I want to talk about here is kind of as a basic thing, where are you going to find your employees? If it's just you and your wife or your husband, or it's just you and your son or your cousin or a family member, that's great. Maybe what you need to do as you start to take on additional work is really start to push those family relationships a little bit further. See if you have an uncle or an aunt that can start to jump in and help. See if your mother or your grandmother or your grandfather, some individual from your family, can take a little bit of time out of their day or their week to help you. And I say that because a lot of us are taking in just a couple jobs. It's a tent this weekend, it's a tent next weekend, maybe there's nothing else going on. And if that's the case, you might not need to grab your grandmother and say, can you help me with some invoicing? Can you help me with some contracts, something? But if you're really starting to push this and you're buying more inventory and you're really starting to stretch yourself, this is the time to start leaning on those family members that can really help you. And I want to say, do the same thing with your friends. Your family and your friends are going to be your first advocates, in many cases, your first advocates for you having a successful time operating your own business. if they want to help and if they've offered help in any way, shape, or form, don't just ask them for money to get started. Ask them to be involved. Ask them to come and help you in the areas that you're deficient. If you know you're not a good person on the phones or email, or maybe, you know, grammar is an issue for you, that's a perfectly understandable thing. Have your wife, your husband, your cousin, your college student son or daughter, have them proofread your emails. In fact, have them start taking those emails from you so you can focus on what you need to be doing at that particular moment. If you start to use those family and friends as assets, and again, not just for asking them for money, but for what their skills are, you're going to start to be able to deploy your business model and the things that you're trying to accomplish out there moving forward. Now, let's say we're a step in front of that. Let's say that you do have these family members that are helping you. There's anywhere from 4 to 5 people that are really starting to give you their time, whether that's an office person, whether that's on the road, whether that's in the backyard, in the shed, or the garage, you know, and it's 15 minutes here, it's an hour there, it's 30 minutes there. Let's say you really need to start taking that to the next level because now you're running 2 or 3 tents a weekend, and gosh, you know what, you really just can't do it by yourself with one or other person who's kind of out there on the road. What does that look like? Where are you going to search for that person who, for the moment, might be a part-time individual? Well, my first suggestion is college kids. If you are anywhere close to a college or you're in a town where those individuals are coming back from May until, let's say, August, that's for a lot of people the main rental period. So start reaching out to any of those friends and family members that you have. See if they have college students that are looking for part-time work. I'm going to take that to the next level, and I'm also going to talk about inviting those young high school students who are also looking for work in the same capacity. You will often find that if you're close to community college, full-time college, or any high school, there's a lot of those individuals that are going to their career centers at those colleges, at those high schools, looking for work. If you know that's the case, use it as an asset, use it as a resource. Contact the resource center or the employment office or some kind of student body organization at this college or at these colleges or at these high schools and see whether or not there's any students that are looking for work. It could be a really, really easy way for you to find an individual who's looking for 15 hours a week. Maybe that's all you need is 15 hours a week. Or maybe you're at the point where you could really pull somebody on full time, 40 hours plus in a work week during the summer. And that college student saying, geez, I want to make 10 bucks an hour. I want to make 12 bucks an hour. And now you've got an able-bodied individual who's willing and ready to rock and roll. And it's going to put you in a really good position for two reasons. The first of which is you have a young, able-bodied individual. So they're not going to be worried about getting up in the morning. They're not going to be worried about working long hours. They just want to get that paycheck and go out and have some fun with their friends. The other side, and this is more long-term, you can start to develop that individual as a person who can grow with your business. If you get a 17-year-old high school student who's looking for 12, 20, 15 hours a week, and you start them at 17 years old, 20 hours a week, moving them through the first summer, they probably will come back and ask whether or not they can work the next summer. Now, if you start to think about this in a 3 to 5 year kind of outline, you could basically be pulling your bench starting tomorrow with those high school students as they transition into a full-time workforce, or if they decide to go into college, when they're back from college, they'll now be calling you and saying, hey, Paul, you know what? I worked with you when I was in high school. I got 2 years experience. I'm really looking to pick up some hours this summer because now I'm 18. Now I'm ready to go. I want to make sure I have a good job. If you really think about this again with the culture and thinking about how you want to scale the business, these might be the individuals that come up through the ranks, starting as what we'll call your hand just for right now. They're helping you out. They're 17 years old. Next year, it's their second year. It's your second year. They're 18. They've got experience. They can drive. They know what they're doing. Maybe they come back with their 19 for their second summer out of college. Now they've got a couple buddies that are looking for some work. Now you've deployed a culture where you're fostering these individuals, you're helping them grow. Now you're encouraging them to bring their friends into work with you, or with them rather. Gosh, you could really start to build a pretty stellar crew. And again, if you start that at 16 years old with a work program through high school, and you follow those kids, or you kind of foster those kids through college if they decide to go to college, you now have 6 years before that individual is looking for a full-time job. Now you can ask yourself, where do I want to be? Where does this business want to be in 6 years? Could that individual that started with you at 16 years old eventually become one of your crew leaders? Could that person eventually become your office manager, your warehouse manager? You never know. And that's why the first suggestion I make is starting with those high school students, starting with those college kids, looking for an opportunity to get them in the door, foster their growth, you know, create a solid relationship, and see where it can take you and your business over the next several years. Keeping on the idea of college kids, if you're anywhere close to a major metropolitan area, I would highly encourage that you go to that college website or go to the college physically in that resource center and determine whether or not they have a hospitality management degree in the college. If you have students in your area that are going for hospitality management, you could very, very easily pick up an intern. You could very, very easily pick up an individual who needs this as work experience, or you could even take this to the next level and you could use that as an in at the college. If you're employing two or three of their students for hospitality management, maybe you put a rotation in place at work where they start in the office, they spend 2 or 3 weeks in the office learning about the office side of the business, and then you push them out to the road. It doesn't matter if they're male or female, they need to understand how this side of the business works, because if they're going into hospitality management, at some certain point, they might be the event manager that you're getting orders from for tables and chairs and skirts and linens and all sorts of things at that college, at a hotel, at a banquet center. So if you start to use this as an opportunity right now, it could be mutually beneficial to you as well as that individual student, and it could create relationships that help take your business from ground floor to God only knows. The other side of this is those hospitality students, oftentimes they need that internship. So they might, I'm not saying this is for sure, but they might actually really need to come and work for you for free for a specific amount of time so that they can get industry experience that helps towards credit work towards their degree. This could be huge for you because you could be, in a sense, taking, we'll say a 20-year-old college student who really wants to get into the hospitality world. Now they're coming to work for you for a summer. Maybe that's at minimum wage. Maybe it's for free. Maybe they're doing this through the school year. And again, maybe it's free or at minimum wage. At least the idea here is that there's a lesser cost to you, but a huge benefit to both you. You have somebody who's willing to learn, willing to work, potentially at a lower rate or for free. And also, you're giving something back to them, real world experience. They get to see what it looks like from this side of the aisle. When they're through their college or hospitality degree, they're going to be the event managers. They're going to be the catering sales managers. They're going to be the folks that are working with those brides, working with those individuals that are looking to plan events at those hotels, at those colleges, at those banquet spaces, and they're going to be looking for individuals like you to call and say, I need these chairs, I need linens, I need tables. I know that I'm sounding a little bit redundant here, but I think it's a very, very underutilized opportunity within the rental world and within the hospitality world, so I highly encourage that you take a look at that. The other side of this too is maybe they're not fit for the road, and that's perfectly fine. But if you can get somebody into your office for a minimum wage or maybe even for free, now you get to start to delegate those tasks, help foster growth, build strong relationships. And even if it doesn't come back to you today, I have a good feeling it's going to come back to you in the future. I'm going to segue a little bit away from the family and friends, away from the college kids and the high school students and those hospitality majors. And I want to talk about Craigslist. Oftentimes, we are really just looking for one person. We need help for this one job because we're still small. We've only got three tents, 20 by 20, 20 by 30, 20 by 40, but they're all going out on the same weekend. It's you and it's your son, or it's you and it's your wife, or if you are the wife, it's your husband. So there's only a couple of you to go out there and do those kind of physical tasks. Try Craigslist. I'm sure you've thought of this, but I've talked to some owners and operators who never ever considered putting a post out on Craigslist. It may be $5 for that job post. What you can do is you can say, I'm looking for this job. You can do a full post. You can take some time to write up what the job responsibilities are and what you're looking for. And you can leave that up for a month. Or maybe, like I said, or where I started was, you just need somebody for one day. Well, in Craigslist, there's a labor option. So you can jump down there instead of a full job post. I just need a crew, or I just need labor. It's at the very bottom of Craigslist. You can put that up. It's like $5. Put it out 2 weeks in advance and say, I need one person, pay them for 8 hours of work, whether they do or don't do the 8 hours, unless it's more. And now you've got an individual, boom, right off the spot. Here we go. Somebody to help that extra set of hands that you really need. One thing about the Craigslist post, you're going to get a lot of applicants. That's okay. You're going to have to go through the time and the process of looking for somebody, whether it's very part-time, a one-off, a part-time person, or a full-time person. You're going to be looking in those labor spaces because a lot of those individuals, and this is not an attack, but a lot of the individuals that are going to be looking for close to minimum wage, $10 an hour, $15 an hour, they may or may not be the individuals who have college degrees. They might be somebody who is accustomed to working in the labor field. That's perfectly fine. That's perfectly understandable. Go after those individuals. That's who you need. You need individuals that you can listen to, listen to your direction, you know, follow the specific tasks that you outline for them. But also, you need to be prepared for those individuals to be like that. Until you're in a position where you're looking for a $50,000 a year individual, which a lot of us are not, you're going to have to be okay to be flexible, to be a little bit agile, and look for those individuals on Craigslist. Another place, and this is really big for where close to where I am, and that's the community centers. We're talking about churches, we're talking about coffee shops, we're talking about volunteer fire stations, you know, career fire stations. You know, if you've got a career fire department close by, go up to the house. See if anybody in there is looking for part-time work, because a lot of those career firefighters have pretty rotational shifts. They might be on 24 hours, they might have 3 days off, and then on another 24 hours. Well, if that's the case, they might be looking for a kind of a fill-in slot for work. It's the same thing with the volunteer fire departments. A lot of the volunteer fire departments, they might even just say, hey, you know what, we'll do a trade. We'll send four of our guys out to help you with this one job if you put up a tent for us for our carnival. Awesome. Do that. Yes, you're going to lose out on the rental fee to give that to the volunteers, but if they come out and help you with two or three jobs, and all you got to do is go put up a 20 by 30 or a 20 by 40 for their summer carnival, so what? Now you're helping the community. You've got some individuals that maybe you can call back for another event, and you're doing a solid trade helping out the fire department because they need that money too. Last place I want to talk about here is going to be Facebook. Facebook Marketplace has really started to change the landscape of how people buy and sell their products. I've seen a lot of individuals put up Facebook, use Facebook Marketplace for renting their tables, chairs, and tents as well. I'm not talking about the rental portions of this. I'm talking about using your social media, Instagram, and Facebook to put up a post and say, hey, we're growing. We need help. You have to consider that the new age of individuals are on their phones, and I'm not saying you don't know this, but they're on their phones all the time. In fact, you are probably starting to turn into one of those individuals. You're listening to a podcast. Do you ever think it 5 years ago that you'd be listening to a tent and event rental industry podcast? Probably not. And 5 years ago, you probably didn't consider how impactful social media would be for you, whether that's Instagram, whether that's Facebook, your website, okay? Use Facebook, use Instagram, use your website to put that post up. If you're already drawing traffic to those locations on Facebook, Instagram, so on and so on, it's really important that you actually say, hey, you know what? We're growing. We need help. We're looking for part-time labor. We're looking for night loaders. We're looking for weekend help only. We're looking for an office individual, because those people that are looking to be those part-time individuals, or maybe they're looking for work, they're probably going to check Craigslist and they're probably going to check your Facebook. Use that as an advantage. It's also a really good way for you to start taking a look at getting the community more engaged. And again, if you're helping out those volunteer fire departments, those churches, doing things with the school, doing things with the university, they're going to get to your Facebook page at some point. They're going to see it. Put your post out there on Facebook. Make sure it's there. Make sure there's a dedicated location for what you're expecting and what you want from those individuals. Now, we've covered quite a bit so far. We are roughly 20 minutes in here. So far we've talked about what kind of labor you're looking for, what kind of employees you're looking for, and that's the basis of what kind of culture are you trying to create in your workspace, okay? We've talked about questions that you should ask yourself. What kind of leader are you? Are you a leader? Are you a salesman? Are you a frontline kind of individual? Use all of the answers to those questions to target the individuals you want to hire and pay to help you grow your business. Please, please, please consider. Your employees are going to be your biggest asset as you move forward. If it's just you and your wife or your husband, hey, that's cool. But if you're trying to get this to a place where, hey, you know what? We really need a full-time person on the road. Maybe it is you and your wife or you and your husband, and you need that third person, go for it. If you can't backfill with your family and your friends for the time being, go out to these places, Facebook, Craigslist, Instagram, your website. contact the colleges. See if they have a hospitality department. See if you can get interns. See if they the high school has any folks that are looking for work. Okay, go to those area community centers, the churches, the coffee shops, the volunteer firehouses, the career firehouses. There's always people that are out there that are looking to make a little extra cash, and that's totally cool. Use all of this to your advantage. I do want to kind of end here with the culture again. As you consider all of the questions that we've discussed and the points that we've talked about today, keep asking yourself the culture, what kind of culture you want to build in and around your business. There is tremendous opportunity in the tent and event rental space for all sorts of, you know, market specific things, your basic tents and tables and chairs, all the way up to some crazy massive structures that get put up at the Olympics and the X Games and out for the NFL games and the MLB and NHL games. You can really take this somewhere. So think about that when you hire that first person. Ask them, do you want to grow with this business or is this just something you want to get yourself into? They might not know the answer to that right now, but if you ask that question today, that'll get them thinking about what they're doing tomorrow when they start their job. They know you want to take this to the next level. And if you're transparent and if you're asking good questions, you're not just looking for somebody, but you're thinking about how is this person going to impact me and how is this person going to influence my business moving forward, you're going to start to drive the kind of culture that will fuel growth. Change is going to be a constant for you. It's always going to be challenging and labor is always going to be a problem. So make sure you keep all of these avenues open. Throw that thing out there on Facebook, even if you have enough people, just get some of those applicants to start coming to the door. It's going to drive some kind of positive change. If you see another person that comes in and they say, hey, you know what? I've been working for another tent rental business. I'm just looking for a change. Hey, you know what? I've been making $15 an hour. I've got 5 years experience. I want $18 an hour. Hey, I'm not trying to poach other people's employees. That's not where I'm going with this. But it doesn't matter if this was a restaurant. It wouldn't matter if this was payroll and HR. It wouldn't matter what kind of work this is. People are trying to get to the next level in their lives and in their careers. If that right person comes in because you consistently open up the opportunity for careers, maybe there's a career section on your website, don't call it jobs, call it careers. Think about what your words mean and how they're influential, and think about the questions you're going to ask those individuals when they come to the door. I'm not saying everybody's going to be a perfect fit. I'm not saying everyone's going to be a rock star. But if you start asking the right questions to yourself, you're going to start to form and discover where you want to go with this, and you can use that same question, you can use that same thought process when you're looking and then eventually interviewing those individuals. Now, This is the sixth podcast I've done. Again, this is about labor. This is about the office. This is about, you know, the kind of culture you're looking to drive here. Started off being a labor thing. I kind of twisted it into culture a little bit, but I think they're mutually exclusive. I really do. I really hope that you're enjoying this. Please, please, please like and share, discuss. I would love to continue this conversation if anyone wants to go. Keeping it about that 25-minute marker, that's where I'm trying to keep most of these podcasts. So, again, thank you so much for listening. This is Paul. This is the Tent and Event Rental Industry Podcast. And keep an eye out for what's coming up next.